I think the advantage I have is I've just made more mistakes, failed more, had made more embarrassing videos than anybody else, but it also gave me kind of a, obviously a head start. And I've just been obsessed with the opportunity of video.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. Today is a juicy one. We got here with us the one and only Sean Cannell coming in with all of his YouTube wisdom and YouTube magic. Today's episode is not going to disappoint, especially if you are someone who is looking to start, grow, or build on YouTube. There is no better person to come in with strategy, insights, and expertise than Sean. He really is the go-to person when it comes to YouTube growth and strategy. With his company, Think Media, they have now helped thousands of creators build profitable brands and businesses using YouTube. And you're going to hear today in this conversation that it does not matter what niche you're in. It does not matter how old you are. You can get started with YouTube today, and Sean's going to be walking us through very easily and simply how to do just that, even with the changing trends, the changing landscape, and really most importantly, what is available to us now using YouTube. So if YouTube has been something that you're wanting to dive into or even just strengthen if you already have a YouTube channel, you're going to love today's conversation. And with that, let's get started. Hey, Sean.
Julie, fired up to be with you.
I'm so excited. I feel like we have been virtually in each other's worlds for the last couple of years. I think that I found you, followed you. We had connected via DMs, have always really admired what you have grown and really kind of what you specialize in and how you show up and support. So I'm excited for my community to get a bite of the Sean Cannell goodness today.
Likewise. It's been awesome to be following you. You know, I actually think I first discovered you at Traffic and Conversion Summit during an influencer summit with Brendan. There was a couple other speakers that day.
Yeah, that was 2018.
Yes. And so grateful for you, super pumped to be hanging out, talking about YouTube and stuff like that.
Yes. So let's dive in. I would love for you to share a little bit with our listeners about how you really got into the specialization that is YouTube and your unique flair or take on it, if you will.
Yeah. So for me, I actually got started in video in 2003. So what, 21 years ago, I was volunteering at my local church in the youth ministry. This is an hour north of Seattle in a small town in a small church with like seven kids in the youth group. And the youth pastor handed me a video camera and Adobe Premiere and said, hey, start making church announcements Wednesday night. And these things were terrible, but I made 52 videos a year. I made a video every Wednesday night. That was bad, embarrassing, but just like any of this stuff, you know, takes practice. And I was definitely getting a head start there. And then by 2007, this seems so crazy, but we actually started a vlog for the pastor, just kind of like a behind the scenes, only went 10 episodes, but talk about the early days of now what's become much more commonplace, like vlogging. So I've been doing video for a couple decades, YouTube for like 17 years. And I think the advantage I have is I've just made more mistakes, failed more, had made more embarrassing videos than anybody else, but it also gave me kind of a, obviously a head start. And I've just been obsessed with the opportunity of video. And I think my unique perspective is the reason I love YouTube so much is because it's the only platform where your content lives forever. What I discovered was that YouTube's a search engine and that YouTube is a content library versus these other platforms, which are more content feeds, Instagram feed, Facebook feed. Now, I love all the social platforms, but you just got to keep posting. And nobody goes to your Instagram and looks up stuff from 2 years ago. Whereas if you've made the right YouTube videos and optimized them the right way, they look up your two-year-old YouTube videos all the time. And so I started to see YouTube as an opportunity for leverage, you know, as an entrepreneur and a business owner. I'm asking myself, how can I do something today that gives me more time tomorrow? How can I buy back my time? And YouTube is that opportunity. If you make the right videos, they can get views for weeks, months, and years to come. And if you connect them to the right monetization streams, You can have passive leads, passive prospects, income coming in from affiliate marketing, appeal for brand deals and sponsorships. Just so many doors open when you crack the YouTube code.
Yeah. So walk us through how you essentially cracked the YouTube code. How did you transition from just making videos in your church on a Wednesday night to then coming in really as an authoritative figure and an expert in the really in the nebulous, if you will, that is YouTube strategy, because it is its own unique thing.
And actually the first thing was I actually wanted to figure out how to make some money online. And what I discovered was affiliate marketing paired with YouTube. And so I'm sure your audience is familiar, but just this idea of the products you personally know, like, or use. You can sign up for an affiliate program, put a link on a blog or in an email, or in this case, the YouTube description. And because I started to think about what are people's intent when they go to YouTube. So early days, I started to do some experiments. I did this series and I had just a personal channel. It wasn't a really good niche. I didn't really have like a promise, but it was just a place where I just posted whatever. But I'd post things like gift ideas for him was an early video. So I went around the house. I picked out some like Tim Ferriss books, like a GPS from our car, like some other things. And I was like, hey, are you shopping for a boyfriend or a husband or a brother? Here's some gift ideas. And learning how really SEO works, search engine optimization, and in this case, you'd call it video SEO. The rules have kind of changed in today's world, but the principles are still the same. The fact that you can rank videos that are found when people are searching for something or the YouTube algorithm recommends them. I just had this idea that, okay, especially during the holidays, people will be looking for gift ideas for him. If they find my video, get some value, click my links, then I'll make a few bucks. And if that scales, it could be some significant income. So I started to do health-related products, as this was all just an extension on this. That was kind of a lifestyle channel, whether it's random content or health-related content. And then I started to kind of get clearer on what is really my mission, my message, my sweet spot. And it wasn't obvious to me at first, but I've been doing video for so long and I had started a video production company that I was like, actually, really my sweet spot is helping people with video itself. And what camera should I buy? What microphone is best? What lighting? And so that's really where my channel today, Think Media, with a couple million subscribers, I got focused and I started to really triple down on that kind of tech and what I would call tools for creatives and creators. Our zone would be podcasting gear, video gear, software, tutorials, reviews. And then that just started to scale up. So I was able to generate over $100,000 in random ranked affiliate videos. And then I got really focused on tech specifically and then started to expand. And so went all in on Think Media. I've, you know, on the journey, moved to Vegas for a couple of years to work as a director of communications at another church, cut my teeth in a lot of different places in terms of like even Facebook ads, helping the pastor build his personal brand, social platforms across the board. So I was side hustling for many years, really developing a suite of skills and experience. And then it was in 2016 that I went all in on personal brand, company brand. And now we're like a team of 30 people. And we're really an education company. So a video education company in the sense of we help people learn video. We help people learn YouTube. And it's expanded into books and events and courses, as well as, I don't know, we post like 300 pieces of content a week, which is crazy. But it's a team and systems that support all that. And we love video across platforms, but YouTube is still the foundation because of that leverage that it creates. And I think tripling down and then getting results for others. And so seeing that eventually we created a 7-step framework, and that framework can just be followed to create consistent results on YouTube. And there's so many different approaches. It's good to cover news. It's good to cover trends. It's good to cover something that's maybe the now moment. You could get a lot of virality by talking about what's now, but there's also something really powerful about evergreen content. Will this content be relevant year round? And can this content even be connected to some type of an income stream? And it was YouTube itself with all that leverage that helped me scale my actual business. Because when you have like a ranked YouTube video, it's like an employee you pay once that works for you for free for weeks, months, and years to come. So you've created an asset. YouTube's like a fine wine. It gets better with age. And so as your library grows, it's helped me also expand from my leadership perspective to have legitimate MRR, monthly reoccurring revenue.
My friends, I have been getting lots of questions lately about what happens after enrolling in things like courses or programs or coaching trainings, and yet still needing help. Because I get it. A lot of times we will dive into some brilliant strategies that are out there, but once it comes to the actual implementation of what we're trying to grow and build, it can get a little hairy. Which is why I'm excited to announce that my team and I are putting the finishing touches on a brand new support container, which will allow you and I to work one-on-one with my team and in community to grow your offers, your revenue, and your brand. So if this is a season where you are really focusing in on growing your revenue and doing that through strategies like building out offers, better brand partnerships, wanting to build out a larger sales channel to really feed the greater business ecosystem that you have, to set up automations and systems and funnels so you can actually get paid without having to physically be somewhere, you are going to love this experience. In the weeds of implementation, it is so easy to get lost, which is why I'm so excited to finally have the own infrastructure in my team to offer a more done with you or done for you approach to what it is you're going to be learning. Essentially, me and my team become your team. You can take everything that we're going to be giving you, which is essentially what I did to build out the multi seven-figure business that I have today, and then we can build that out with you, or you can have me and my team build it all out for you. So if you want to be one of the first into this amazing experience, you can go to the link in the show notes and apply. There is no pressure in joining by filling this out. This is just an opportunity for you to really learn what's happening and what's going on with this new incredible experience. I am so excited to be sharing more. All you have to do is go to juliesolomon.net/interest, or again, just click that link in the show notes, juliesolomon.net/interest. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so I want to get into all of this, into the nitty-gritty with you as much as we can, because I know that you support people, as you just said, understand video from the tech to the software to the strategy to the SEO. So from a very kind of, let's start, bird's eye view, if you will, if someone is listening right now and they are ready to get into YouTube and they want to do it, I'm going to say, quote unquote, the right way. They know they need to be consistent, so we don't have to talk about that. They know that they need quality content, so we don't have to talk about that. But let's really get into, and maybe there is some things you want to talk about with those two things. But, you know, this is for somebody that's like, I know I have to show up consistently. I know I have to create quality content, and I know that I need to understand the video SEO so I can really capitalize off of that. What are kind of the first few things they need to start thinking about and doing?
Yeah, I think the first big idea is, what are people looking for? So we teach like these 16 different strategies, like you can review specific products, you could teach specific skills, but the first one is ASQ, answer specific questions. And when people are searching for something, let's apply it to a couple of niches. If you were seeking to build a computer, like a gaming computer or video editing computer or something like that, some of the top ranked videos right now are actually long form videos and YouTube shorts, but they're about a specific part. This is true for wine as well. I heard Gary Vee mention this. YouTube shorts even are, if you talked about a certain varietal of wine, right now, white Burgundy is popping. Like, so, and if you love that minerality, and you want to be in that region of France, I'm just making stuff up like I know anything about wine. But and so maybe you talk about a particular bottle, compare a couple things. And actually, the reason I wanted to bring up first for those listening is YouTube Shorts, is even though I don't think YouTube Shorts would be the ultimate goal, I think for 99% of your audience, many have probably stepped out and done Instagram Reels, connected that to their Facebook Reels, maybe TikTok. And in a lot of cases, you probably already have some assets that you can upload to YouTube Shorts. Vertical, less than 60 seconds. I'd rather you start than start perfect, you know, and worry too much about all the logistics. And you could build some momentum perhaps on your back library. Why not start uploading YouTube Shorts? And in doing so, let's apply it to another niche. I help a lot of loan officers and real estate agents. Think about the locality of a local region, a local city, a local county? Is now a good time to buy? What is the market updates for this particular region? Interest rates just went up. You know, what do I need to know? And these are searchable. So when you think about, we're not talking about viral views here, but we're talking about vertical videos less than 60 seconds. Upload those around the things people are looking for, the questions that people have. And you could get really hyper niche, and you don't have to create very complex content here. I'm in Snohomish County as we're recording this near Seattle. And so you might say, April 2024 is now a good time to buy. Is now a good time to buy in Snohomish County? (Parentheses, April 2024. So you're making these videos where, depending on your intent, if you want leads, prospects, then that video could get discovered. Someone's searching YouTube. YouTube's owned by Google. You can eat. There's even some, not some. We get millions of views from Google because of YouTube videos, not because of our website. So you just want to start getting in front of the search terms and the search intent. And what I mean by that is it's not even just someone going to the search bar and typing in the exact thing. When someone goes to the YouTube search bar and clicks on certain videos, once they start looking for market updates in Snohomish County, once they start watching some Snohomish County-based real estate videos, YouTube recommends videos based on watch history. So if you're optimizing videos well, then okay, this is 101 strategy. I'm saying make vertical videos, less than 60 seconds. Get a $20 mic off Amazon, the little wireless ones that people hold up or whatever. Plug it into your Android or your iPhone and deliver value. Like, be bright, be fun, and be done. And put those videos out. Now you can start getting in front of some of those terms. Now, level two would be proper YouTube videos. And that would be making an outline, delivering some value. We're now in landscape mode. It's going to be best if you edit the video down, because none of us can talk as good extemporaneously as we possibly could once the video is edited. Maybe it's show, don't just tell. So maybe you're showing off some different things in terms of B-roll, which would be those extra clips and footage, or if you're doing a neighborhood walkthrough in real estate. And again, the key here is making videos about the right topics. The creator who understands the viewer best wins. So when you get inside of the mind of what are people looking for, what are they asking? If I'm going to buy a home, I'm wondering, is now a good time to buy? I'm wondering FHA loan versus conventional versus interest only. Like, so these topics become the video topics I should be creating. Where a lot of people get stuck is, it's one thing to think about the production and the title and the thumbnail. What's even more important than that is really the topic itself. If you create even a lower quality video, though, with good information about the right topic at the right time, and forget evergreen, there's also new things happening all the time and things changing. So the National Association of Realtors just changed a bunch of stuff, right? They just changed this thing where now there's different contracts, the way commissions will be done. They're altering some things. So if you're a real estate agent and you had a YouTube channel about educating real estate agents, the right move to make would be reacting to what is top of mind for people. Make a good YouTube video. So the title might be like, you know, will the NAR update put realtors out of business? Now we're going a little more dramatic. And then you're like, we need to talk about this. There's five things you need to know about this new update from the National Association of Realtors, and three things that you could do to take action to actually not only avoid losing money, but actually earn more because of the opportunities this has created if you understand this. So you've created a good video around a great topic, you're thinking about titling it well, and you're outlining some powerful content in there. That's very powerful, because now that's what everyone's thinking about this week. The Fed changes something, there's a new law, there's something happening in Nashville, and that's who your audience is. So if you understand your audience, you know what they want, you make some good content, you put that out in long form videos, that's really that massive opportunity to now meet new people, get in front of the right subject matter, and get new subscribers, discover people that don't know you yet. But after, when your presence is established, these topics are a win-win, because the people who do follow you, they also want good information about the things they care about right now. And so now you're tapping into growth as well as serving your existing audience. I've been kind of rambling on with so many things. So let me know if you want to unpack that or if that was clear.
Yeah. So I would love to, because I know what's coming up maybe for some of those that are listening here. And because I think what you shared is brilliant, but where some of them are going to go, because I know them so well, they're going to say, but Sean, I'm not an educator. I'm not a person of quote unquote authority. I'm just a lifestyle blogger that helps moms learn how to transition winter clothes into spring clothes. Or I'm just a food blogger that's maybe teaching someone on Easter weekend how to make deviled eggs. So how do I stand out among the saturation on YouTube? If I'm not seeing myself as a person of authority, how can I create content that is somewhat authoritative, that is somewhat educational based, even if I'm not seeing my content as that?
Yeah. So I've learned that you really don't have to be an expert. You just need to be an expert in the way you do it.
Share more about that.
So if you figured it out, and this, I mean, we have so many students that have built these YouTube channels, and we all go through this imposter syndrome. Well, I don't have a degree. No one tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're ready now to start teaching. I think the key is you want to tap into the confidence that your way worked because it worked for you. You've been trying to solve this problem for a few years. Your deviled eggs were terrible last Easter and the Easter before. And then finally you figured out that ingredient. And so you make that video about the one secret ingredient that made everybody love the deviled eggs at our last party. That's kind of the hook or whatever. So I think it's the confidence to just, you don't have to call it the only method. There's no such thing, but you call it your method. And the niches you listed have so much opportunity. I mean, people are looking for cooking videos. What's so funny is on my experimental channel over the years, to this day, I've got a video, the two recipes I know, how to bake salmon in a tinfoil boat, because that was like the recipe my dad taught me. And then how to do garlic green beans. And I got 70,000 views and 200,000 views. And I don't even know what I'm doing. I think I want to encourage those listening, you actually are probably more deserving of the viewership that others are getting because they punched fear in the face and just started and you're overthinking it. Your family loves this stuff. It's your way of doing it. It'll help people. The market will also decide, but you're going to get a lot more thank yous than criticism because people will be like, wow, you showed me how to do it. How to cook a steak in a pan because I don't have a grill, you know, or whatever it is. So I think, man, especially though winter clothes, these are huge niches on YouTube. DIY, closet organization, your solution for closet organization, spring cleaning.
Beauty, makeup, skincare, hair care.
Really endless. And I think a couple opportunities when you start thinking about the competition. One, if you're tapping into a big enough niche, and this is big enough, parenting, because this is stuff that everyone's eating food. Lots of people have kids. Lots of people are thinking through this stuff. So it's actually competition is a good thing because it proves there's market demand. You actually don't want to be like, oh, there's no one making a video about this. Well, that's also, chances are then no one's also going to watch the video you make. Whereas people love following people of different backgrounds, ages. You know, we have students like Denise Jordan and Mary are 60 plus and 70 plus, 80,000 subscribers, a million. Mary just did a million subscribers, got a book deal with Random House for a cookbook. She's a modern pioneer. So it's like, I think it's stepping out there and just realizing so many people, Julie, are into sourdough right now. Like sourdough is like this wave, like sourdough starters. And maybe you go, oh, it's already saturated. Everyone's done it. No. And even for the really big influencer that has a million views on their video, when you're talking about something that's top of mind, instead of you getting 10 views, you're going to get 550 because everyone wants to know about sourdough. So hence finding those topics, those are all great topics, different recipes, different cooking. I think the next level down is starting to understand some of the research tools. And here's the phrase, research before you press record. Meaning this, you might brainstorm, okay, I want to make a deviled eggs video. I was thinking about doing a transitioning the kids' wardrobe video. I'm thinking about that. The mistake people make is they just sort of pick a topic and they start filming. What you want to do is instead of pressing record, research first. So once you start thinking about deviled eggs or something like that, if you go to the YouTube search bar, I'll walk us through verbally. I'm going to type in deviled eggs. And if you type that in, and you've probably seen this, everybody knows what I'm talking about. When you type in a word, Google and YouTube finishes your sentence for you. Autocomplete. And so when I type in deviled eggs on YouTube, the first video that comes up, the first recommendation, there's a list of phrases now. And this list is the topics people are searching for in order of how much they're searching. Just using the YouTube search bar for free, and you just start typing your idea. Well, when I type in deviled eggs, the top one's recipe. The second one is Southern style. The next one's recipe easiest, which types a little bit into the psychology of if videos are appealing, things like simple and easy make videos more appealing because I don't want the hard one. I don't want the advanced, fast. With bacon, recipe Southern, Gordon Ramsay, without mayo. But these are important because when we teach answer specific questions, what we don't recommend is just answering questions. That S is important. You want it to be specific. So I think about one of Mary's videos has 1 million views. She started YouTube when she was 60. Now she's at 1 million subscribers at 65. So it's how to make apple cider vinegar with the mother. And real ones listening now from home. So it's like these nuances. So if you were to just say like summer fashion trends, that's just a general question. You're not going to get that. But if you go for women over 40, and then maybe we go with this particular style. Forgive me, I'm out of my depth now, but I don't know if it's boho or country or modern or, you know, like, and so if you go, you know, spring, you have a season, fashion trends, the topic we're talking about, women over 40, and then maybe the niche style, now we're getting much more nuanced on it, which again is this opportunity to stand out in the midst of competition. And so you could take any of those things you mentioned. I think the thing is you got to just punch fear in the face. And here's, Julie, this is just true about anything. This is a fact of almost every area of life is that 95% of people do not take action. Just true. And then it gets even crazier. A very small percent of people stay consistent. And so it's one thing to post 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 videos on YouTube. It's a whole nother thing to still be posting season after season, year after year. Meaning this, I am so confident for the person listening to this that can see the opportunity, invest in learning the skills, and not just start, but stick with it. There's something about breaking through the noise as you kind of start. It's not just a deviled eggs video. One video doesn't change your whole channel, but it's about building up videos over time. And a rising tide lifts all ships because you'll never know which video becomes the point of entry to your world. For those who even, and let's talk about vlogging in a second, but for those who are like maybe even more lifestyle than this, I'm not really an educator. We could talk about that, but you really only need a couple of videos that become entry points into your world. Like I had no idea. I was just looking for a deviled eggs recipe one day, but then I found you. Connected with your vibe, heard a little bit about your story and your values as it just was woven into the video. And I've been following you ever since as you did your 30 days of, you know, let's redo our house or renew or motivation or mindset summer. Something that's maybe unrelated to the deviled eggs, but that was the entry point of them discovering you because it was searchable and because it was educational. There's also kind of a new school vlogging strategy that I think goes into this. The co-author of our book, YouTube Secrets, Benji, vlogs with his wife, Judy. They're like OGs. They've been doing it over a decade. And it's a little bit of like day in the life, kids, breakfast, all this different stuff, which I don't recommend to most people. Like if you're trying to break through and just get started to create interest and just this like follow me all day type of a thing, it's very difficult to do. But vlogging is also in and of itself just kind of a format. It's like grab your phone, take people with you. And so what he's been doing, he has kind of a cooking channel and he's done fancy cooking videos, a little bit harder to edit. He plans them out. He puts a recipe together. But what he started to do was he plans his topic ahead of time, thinks about his thumbnail ahead of time, and plans his thumbnail ahead of time. And I want listeners to grab that. Man, you're going to just be so much further along in your video. If before you press record, you have an idea of what your title is, and you go, oh, that's interesting, and that seems clickable, an idea of what your thumbnail is, kind of an idea of what the outline is, and then you record, man, the results down the line are so much better. So what he'll do, though, is he recently was on a vacation with his wife in Guadalajara, Mexico, And he thought about what is the difference between 7-Eleven in the United States versus Mexico. One video, one mini vlog, shot outside, showed inside and showed some of the stuff off, and then ended the vlog, said, hey, subscribe, click or tap the screen to watch another video. But he's tapping into people's interest in food and the difference in countries, something searchable, but it's still a vlog. Hey, Benji here. And he's been doing some of these for Costco. That's a whole subculture in of itself. You want some viral views, start talking about Costco.
Right, or like Bucky's.
Right? I've been watching the protein
crazy.
All the protein hacks, because you know you want to get those gains. So it's like, get this, get that, the calorie to protein ratio. So you start thinking about, man, I think this is so relevant for your audience, is come along with me. But maybe instead of just putting together a bunch of random things, isolate the topic. Could be your workout routine, could be a morning routine. That in and of itself is a searchable, discoverable thing. And maybe you attach morning routine to being a student, or morning routine to being a mom, or morning routine to being a mom that's homeschooling, and all these different things. Now you're thinking about what is it people are interested in, and you're packaging your videos in such a way that they're discoverable, findable, and therefore able to build your audience, your following, and thus all the stuff you teach down the line now, be more sponsorable, open doors for brand deals, passive income affiliate marketing, so many ways to monetize and really make an impact.
That's so good. My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow, you need to scale, you need a marketing strategy, you need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff, and it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business, or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show. My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers. And you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. Go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion. I would love for you to deepen the concept a little bit on the thumbnail, because when you were talking about that, I was like, okay, that's important. And I think people conceptually know what a thumbnail is, but what is the strategy or the reasoning for having that to be a part of the beginning stages of you building out a YouTube video theme, if you will? A piece of content.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, really the only advertisement that you have for your video is the title and the thumbnail. And the surface space on YouTube, the appeal, the packaging of your video is so heavily dependent upon the thumbnail. One of the things that is a practical power tip is if you're going to make a deviled eggs video, besides going to the YouTube search bar, typing in deviled eggs and putting the space and seeing what are some of the more nuanced details about that without mayonnaise. You're like, oh, that's exactly, you know, keto friendly, whatever. You start tapping into this, like the niche within the niche. Actually search it. So actually, you know, type it in, look at what videos rank, because success leaves clues. And you're also kind of studying at the competition. So what are their thumbnails look like? So I think for some people, maybe their assumption is they need to put a picture of themselves in the thumbnail. A lot of times with food, you're not the hero, the food is. So a well-lit picture of the final product of the food is maybe the best thumbnail. And you may not need words, you may not need anything else. And then it's just clean, it's beautiful. So you're kind of strategizing. So what I would say is step one is think about researching a little bit of what is your competition doing. Think about also if you're on the page with 5 or 10 competitors, what would make your thumbnail clickable and interesting compared to the rest? So then this is starting to learn just kind of marketing principles in general. Is there something you can tap into that pitches a little bit of mystery, that creates a little bit of curiosity, that insinuates you have kind of a different approach? Some of the powerful things in thumbnails, if you were in Costco and you took a, one of the most thoughtful things to do is just take an actual photo during the time you're creating content for the thumbnail and think about how you could be creative with that. So maybe as you're going through Costco, doing a Costco haul type of a video around looking for a particular subject matter at Costco, like trying to find the best deals or everything with protein. Maybe you get to one section, you take a selfie in landscape mode because it's going to be a thumbnail. And this product right here over your shoulder is something that shocked you. And so then the final, then you throw that into Canva and you put a question mark. That's it. All the thumbnail is you looking kind of curious and this product, which is blurred out and a question mark. What are we doing? We're creating some interest. Like, wait, what's behind the question mark? What product was that? And titles could include, there are definitely the search-based titles like best products, like best protein packed products at Costco, April 2024. Good title, kind of search-based, typing into views all month long. It definitely has a deadline on how relevant that video will be, but you could really tap into some views. Now you also might say is, this product at Costco shocked me. And this product is behind the question mark. So it's the title and the thumbnail working together. And so, you know, my closet, this organizer from Amazon transformed my entire closet. It's kind of like, I can't resist clicking on that. Cause if I'm obsessed with organization, I just need to know what is that? How did you transform your entire, closet? So it's kind of learning the art form of writing powerful titles and then thinking that inside of a thumbnail and certain, like circling things with a red circle, having a red arrow pointing to something in the thumbnail, and thinking about things where if you want to personally brand it, then your face in the thumbnail makes sense because you're seen and that's consistent. It's also thinking about who's the hero of the thumbnail. Let's hit it from another angle, but to go through the psychology. So I have a video podcast, the Think Media Podcast, and we're doing an episode together. People should definitely listen to over there, right, on your genius. But when I think about a thumbnail for my podcast, I think about a couple things. What is most likely to get clicked? So I don't always do the same template. I think about, is the guest, how recognizable is the guest? Am I the most recognizable to my audience? Probably in most cases, yes. Is it necessary to have two people in the thumbnail? What are the opportunities here where sometimes I really want to showcase that whether we show diversity on our channel or we show, obviously I'm a guy, so that's male heavy. So if I have a female guest, maybe like, oh, that's cool. Maybe somebody can learn from somebody who's more relatable to them. So I'm asking myself, am I in the thumbnail solo? Am I in the thumbnail with the guest, or is the guest in the thumbnail solo? And I'm thinking through simply with this one question, what is the best possible packaging to tell this story? I'm not married to the idea that I have to force two people in the thumbnail, because now, by the way, thumbnails are small. That's getting a little crowded. Might be best practice, But in some cases today, I had two guests on my podcast just talking about how to get it all done, how to do like the 5-hour YouTube work week and productivity tips for, you know, doing this with minimal time. But rather than put all three people in the thumbnail who, but most, probably 99% of people wouldn't recognize these other guests, I use just me in the thumbnail with kind of this day job versus side hustle. And I had like half a suit on. So the punchline was that there was some creativity invested in asking, man, how, what would make people want to click on this? How could I story tell this concept in such a way to make it interesting? And when possible, probably the biggest mistake people make on thumbnails: too busy, too much clutter, too much going on, too many words. They restate their title in their thumbnail. Their title's like 15 words. They put 15 words in your thumbnail. That's too, like, number one, the title already has the words. Number two, it's too much. I would say three or less words and challenge yourself to have no words. If the thumbnail just speaks visually by your curiosity or by, you know, whatever it is you're highlighting, if it's for makeup, as you said, and skincare, the before and after, the two panel is amazing, because then you're pitching like, whoa, before was this, after was this. Click on this video. I'm going to show you how to go through the whole transformation. You may not need to put even words on the screen. Literally, the two panels meets the title is like, I clearly can see that you went from this to this. Another one that's good for fitness as well. You show your early days and then you show your current physique, and people are looking for that transformation. You're a fitness coach of some kind. So the two panel transformation. So, and simple is no words at all. If you have two good images, two strong images, and showing transformation and then tying that to the title. And then finally, on the thumbnail, you do, if possible, want to stop the scroll. So if there's something that makes me stop, inspect it a little bit, look at what's happening, and then read the title, that's the next logical step. Like, I stop my scroll, then I look over to the title. And if the title's well-written, create some curiosity, makes a promise that I'm interested in learning, then boom, I got a click. And then we get into the video after that.
Beautiful. I know that that really breaks it down, and I think helps a lot of people that may be diving into this, because you just gave us so much to walk through and so much goodness, no matter what niche you're in. Would love to hear a little bit about the tech side, because I know that that is something that keeps a lot of people from taking the action on starting on YouTube. They're like, I'm not good with tech. I don't know how to set it up. I'm not good with lighting. I don't understand editing. Like, how am I actually going to produce a good enough quality video that would entice someone to keep coming back? So are there any tips that you can share for those that are just getting started on the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, on making it as easy and consistent as possible for someone to produce a piece of content on YouTube using the tech and software that's now available to us?
Yeah, I think I love that we're living in a world where our smartphones shoot high quality video. And so I think starting with your smartphone is great. Knowing ahead of time what it is you want to create. Is it going to be vertical? Okay, your phone's vertical. Is it going to be horizontal? And that's going to be best practice for longer form YouTube videos. That's number one. Number two, CapCut. I think there's many different software, but the app CapCut, it'll be intimidating when you first get in there if you're new to editing. And the cool thing about when I say editing, just minimal editing is all you really need. Like, maybe you plan your topic, you write down a few notes, you record for 15 minutes, and when you look down at your notes for a second and there's a 30-second spot here and a mess up here, no big deal. You just go through and you edit out those mistakes and just trim it down so it's concise for the viewer. And the cool thing about something like CapCut is I'm sure everybody listening has seen these cool captions that show up on screen, especially in short form vertical content. But that is just with the push of the button. It'll listen to what you're saying. It'll add those to the screen. There's so many different things. And if you want to get a little fancier, the learning curve, if you just get 1% better every time you shoot a video, throw it in there. I think we talk about AVLS. That's the acronym to write down. Audio, video, lighting, stabilization, AVLS. Grab a microphone off of Amazon for, again, $20. You can get a lightning port or USB-C mic that plugs into your phone and then can clip to your shirt wireless. There's corded mics, $13. It'll plug into your dongle. And audio is a big deal. So I would recommend, even though if you just talk straight to your phone, especially if it's in a quiet environment, that's good enough to get started. Having a little bit better audio is always good for retention, and people prefer great audio. Like, they'll tolerate even lower quality video, but great audio really is helpful for audience retention, because people, if it's hard to hear or echoey or all these different things, people won't be a fan of that. And then video is just, your phone can shoot the video. Lighting, if possible, and you're indoors, you can buy like a softbox light kit off Amazon for about $50. You could buy these desk mount lights like I have on our video podcast here. That's just clamped to the back of my desk, and I've got a light in my home office. And then stabilization would be a tripod of some kind. You might use a selfie stick if you're walking around. A lot of, again, the real estate agents I coach, they'll use a selfie stick. So their phone's put out from them a little bit. They just put it on selfie mode. They hit record and they connect a microphone that's wireless to like their jacket, and they do walkthroughs of neighborhoods. And if they turn the camera the other way to do like a house tour or something, they'll just shoot all the clips on their phone. And then in some cases, I know you've got people of all different levels and entrepreneurs that are crushing it. You know, maybe you just shoot all that footage and upload it to Dropbox and let somebody on Fiverr or Upwork edit that for you. Sometimes I've seen people hire their kids, like Anton, who's a real estate professional, hired his son to edit his videos for him. And these are simple edits. So he uses CapCut. He actually just bought a separate phone. He had like a Galaxy 20 or something, and he bought the newest one and dedicated his other phone just to shooting the content. And then it was on there, and that he could hand it off either to somebody at Keller Williams on the front desk, she would edit it, or his son. And then boom, they'd chop through. So I think that complexity is the enemy of execution. So I think starting simple with your smartphone and a few accessories and starting to post videos, you can upload them right from your phone to the YouTube app and getting some momentum going. Now, then subscribe to our channel, Think Media, on YouTube, because I'm in an environment now where my studio, you know, I've invested $20,000 in three different cameras and lighting and a standing desk. But that's not only is that not necessary, it's also literally my core genius and profession. So of course I'm going to go deep, but there's people that are making fancy shows like Lewis Howes School of Greatness. And you're talking about building out studios and some of these longer form video podcasts that have high-end cameras and high-end lenses and teams. You could scale this thing up to whatever level you want. But again, complexity is the enemy of execution. I don't think you should get too fancy at the start. And some people do. They even will take my advice. I want to go buy the nicest camera or the camera that Sean recommends. I want the best quality. Great. But then it just sits in the box because they go, I don't know how to use this. Use the thing you know how to use, build some momentum, even get some systems and some cash flow going, and perhaps outsource and build your team up, or allow yourself to learn your next thing while you're actually taking action with your current thing. Learn your next camera, but while you're actually taking action with your current smartphone, posting content, getting results, and kind of doing the reps to build up these content creation muscles, to build up the content creation muscles. You know, everything is figure outable. You can figure this stuff out, but it does take time and there is a learning curve. So pace yourself, get 1% better with every upload. And I would start with your smartphone and accessories.
Oh, it's such a great takeaway. And just a great reminder to not compare your day one with someone else's year 10. You know, Lewis is a great example of that. I remember when School of Greatness was being filmed in his apartment in Los Angeles. And at that time, he had coaching programs and masterminds and courses and live events. And now all he really does is just his podcast. But it took him years to get to that place where he was going all in. And so I think a lot of times people they'll compare their day one to where, well, I want it to look like this person's YouTube channel. Well, they've been doing it for 10 years and you're not really comparing apples to apples. And so I love what you said about like, let's keep it simple. Let it be easy. Start with the iPhone or the Samsung, whatever you can use that's, again, lower hanging fruit, and then grow from there. So I think that is a great takeaway for the people that I know are listening to this podcast right now. And speaking of ways in which you can help people, I know that there's some ways. I know you've got a virtual conference coming up May 23rd and 25th. I want to hear about that. If you want to share a little bit more about that here, because I think this could be a great way for someone who may be new to your world to kind of come in, sink their teeth in, figure out more about what it is that you do, what your genius is, how you can help them. Because I know that we've got a lot of podcast curious people that are listening here today, or maybe they've dabbled before, but they haven't been able to stay consistent. So I would love to hear more about that conference.
Yeah. So we have what's called the Growth Video Live Summit coming up. Dave Ramsey, Pat Flynn, Shalene Johnson. And we have a couple other crazy speakers, which if you go to the website, which I'm sure you can link to, that are actually to be announced soon. You can watch it from anywhere in the world. It's an online summit, couple day event. We're covering all things video and going heavy on YouTube. And we'll be talking about secrets of the top 1%, like going through the 8 big things that the top 1% of creators do that anyone can apply. We'll be talking about really our entire framework, going through a repeatable process and a step-by-step system that people can follow to get consistent results with video. Incredible guest speakers sharing their insights. And I love that you mentioned podcasting. And one of our biggest passions right now is video podcasting, because YouTube's making a major play. YouTube already is the number one podcast platform.
Which a lot of people most people don't know that.
So YouTube's already the dominant podcast platform, bigger than Apple and Spotify, but they're getting crazy. They're shutting down Google Podcasts and absorbing it into YouTube Music. YouTube Music, think of Spotify and YouTube Music as competitors, where YouTube Music will not only have the music side of things and at a paid level, but will have podcasts now. But then YouTube Channels are also now integrating RSS feeds. So for someone to start a podcast, turn on the camera, even if you just have a webcam, USB mic, Riverside, like we're doing, turn on the camera, interview somebody, upload it to YouTube. It can be your distribution to all the audio platforms as well. And to your point, like podcasting, video podcasting is such an opportunity because you can go multi-platform. It's so leveraged when you think about also lifestyle and peace of mind and family, whatever your values are, because you could do something one time, but then multiply it across platforms. And that's one of the things that we're obsessed with at Think Media is how do we do this built to last? That was our theme last year. How do we make this built to last? I don't just want content to consume my entire life. I want to think about what are some intelligent ways I can do content, like starting a signature show, like a video podcast, and setting up systems and routines around it so that this thing could be sustainable. And like Lewis, or like your show, or like so many others that are coming on to start something that can impact people's lives immediately, start growing your following, start opening up doors of opportunity, but also not just the next year, where could you be in 3 years, 5 years, as you build your brand, you build momentum. So video podcasting will be a big theme of our upcoming conference as well. And so many cool things. So it's called the Grow With Video Summit.
Yes. And so for those of you that it could be a podcast route for you that YouTube would make the most sense for, or maybe you're that person that's like, you've been blogging about deviled eggs for years and now you're ready to take that to video. YouTube is going to be a great platform for you. And there really is no better person to learn from than Sean, I think. You can go to growwithvideolive.com and actually use the code Julie for a ticket. I'm going to have that in the show notes as well for you, that you can just click and it will be easy. But again, that's growwithvideolive.com and you can use the code Julie for a ticket there. Sean, I would love for you to share where people can follow you, where they can watch you, where they can listen to you, and just learn more about the services and the opportunities that you have if they want to work with you as well.
Yeah, Julie, thanks again so much for having me. And if you are saying, what camera should I buy? And remember, actually, I encourage you to just use your smartphone. But if even what are the best iPhone microphones? If you look up Think Media on YouTube, it's basically like a free YouTube tech college with all the different questions around that. And we have tutorials. It's all free. And then the Think Media podcast. And so I upload 2 episodes a week, really with the mindset, the strategies, and the thinking around growing on YouTube with some great guests. And that's called the Think Media Podcast, available on YouTube, as well as every audio platform.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for finally coming on. I know this has been a long time coming. I can't wait for your virtual conference. I know that you're going to have just so many incredible speakers there, along with just your own methodologies that you're going to be able to pour into so many people. So for those listening, I hope that you carve out the time to dive into that. If you are interested in video in whatever capacity, Sean is going to be able to fast track that for you. And with that, my friends, thank you again for listening. If you loved today's episode, had any gleams, anything, any takeaways, as always, make sure to screenshot today's episode. Tag me on Instagram at Joel Solomon. Tag Sean at
Sean Cannell, your guide to building a profitable YouTube channel.
Beautiful. And then let us know what your biggest takeaway was. And with that, my friends, I'll see you next time, same place. Thank you again, Sean. This was awesome.
Thank you.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.